This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Strike! Strike! Strike!
That's what machinists are doing at Boeing. They walked off their jobs in Washington State overnight, staging their first strike in 16 years.
I'm Heather Bosch in Seattle. Machinist union members want a 40% pay raise. They're being offered 25%. They want a pension like the one that was axed in 2014. And they say they want to be listened to. Whistleblowers told Congress they've been ignored, leading to glaring quality and safety problems.
The strike's expected to halt production of Boeing 737 MAX and 777 jets in Washington State. Job action averted at another airline.
Flight attendants at American Airlines have approved a new contract after years of negotiations and ending the union's threat of a strike. The Association of Professional Flight Attendants says that 87% of its members who voted agreed to ratify a deal negotiated with American. They haven't gotten raises since 2019. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
The lights and AC are slowly coming back on in parts of Louisiana, flooded out by Wednesday's hurricane. CBS's Jared Hill.
This morning, high water still covers roads in parts of southern Louisiana after what was Hurricane Francine slammed the state as a Category 2 storm. In Terrebonne Parish, streets looked like the ocean. At the storm's peak, more than 400,000 people in Louisiana had lost power. That number much lower this morning.
Outages still affecting 125,000 customers there now. Former President Donald Trump may have more to say about his decision not to take part in a second debate with Kamala Harris when he holds a news conference near L.A. today. At a rally in Tucson, he pushed his proposals to drop taxes on some wages.
I went to some economists, great ones, and I said, what do you think? They said, it would be unbelievable. You'll get a whole new workforce by doing that. No taxes on overtime.
The vice president at a rally in Greensboro, North Carolina.
We are the underdog. Let's be clear about that. We are the underdog. And so we have hard work ahead of us, but we like.
She'll be back in Battleground, Pennsylvania today. Concerns about the future of a top NFL player.
Hamlin hit him and Tua down.
Miami quarterback Tua Tagovailoa had to leave last night's game against Buffalo after he collided head-on with Bills safety DeMar Hamlin and hit his head hard on the turf, suffering his third concussion in 3 years. Tua undergoes more medical tests today. S&P futures are up 12. Dow futures ahead, 74. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Water levels are low on the Mississippi River. That's making things tough for shippers and Wisconsin farmers. Jimmy Kuska reports.
The USDA says that grain shipping is being limited, especially around St. Louis, as officials deal with water levels as low as they've been the last 2 years. In the last week of August alone, grain shipping dropped 17%. The effects will mostly be felt by farmers, with costs up 57% compared to the three-year average. Costs this year are up 8% over last year. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Waukesha County executive is diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Paul Farrow says he plans to keep working through his chemotherapy treatments. Farrow's been Waukesha County executive since 2015. Before that, he served in the state legislature. He announced the news to the public in a YouTube video this week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is working towards returning soon.
He's going to do everything he can to be out there, and we'll give him the week.
LaFleur added that Love has been at practice helping out this week.
Yeah, he's been out there at practice and been engaged, knows every play call, is always coaching up Malik, coaching up Sean, is doing a good job with it.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny today, highs in the low 80s, little breezy out of the southeast. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 59. Mostly cloudy Saturday, 79. Chance of a shower on Saturday night with a low around 60 degrees. For Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 82.
Right now, it's 58.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. We'll get you ready for the big Alabama visiting Wisconsin Badger game and much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday the 13th. Friday morning, September 13th, 2024, 53 days till Election Day. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast or through social media. Thanks for starting your day here. Normally, my question is for you. Instead, I got a question for you, Greg. Did you know the crowd at Tim Walz's rally last night is no longer chanting, "We're not going back, we're not going back"? Can you, I just sent you a link. Can you turn the volume up nice and loud and tell us what the crowd is chanting at Tim Walz' rally last night in Michigan?
Will do.
We're not eating cats. We're not eating cats.
Oh, Michigan, we love you.
Oh, my goodness. What a time to be alive, huh? We're not eating cats.
I mean,
if you can't have fun this year, finally, with a presidential campaign that everybody thought was going to be the least fun thing ever. I mean, God bless these folks. I mean, first off, Trump is the gift that keeps on giving in that he's now just like, I'm not weird. And yesterday he wasn't just talking about eating cats and dogs, but like geese disappearing from city parks and things like that. And, you know, the crowd, instead of getting all riled up about it, is just like, fine, we'll chant it. We're not eating cats. I'm starting to like covering politics again. How are you today on this nice little Friday morning?
You know, I'm good. I mentioned to you before we got on the air that the governor of Ohio has actually gone into Springfield with some aid for the community. And now they're saying they're sending troops into Springfield. No, they're just trying to help.
Actually trying to be helpful. Yeah. Right. So
all out of a nothing story, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tim Walz was in Grand Rapids last night for a rally. He's still there this morning. He's coming to Mosinee to the Wausau area around 3 o'clock for an event in Wausau around 3:45 or so. And then off to Superior, land at the airport in Duluth. And he has an event in Superior about 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. So the campaign, the Harris-Walz campaign, is sticking to its promise to be in every media market in every battleground state this week, coming out of the debate. So there's still no lack of things for us to do, and it's just so much better than how I thought it was going to be a couple of months back. Like, all right, Joe Biden is here, Donald Trump is there. And again, this is the take nothing away from Joe Biden. I'm just saying it's the dimensions of this race are so different now.
Well, there's this energy now. We love Joe. We love Joe. Yeah. But there also felt a bit of, I don't want to say manufactured energy, but it felt like people were trying really hard to be excited. And now it's not the case. Now we're excited. I mean, he's going to take Mosinee and turn it into Mosin. Wee!
And well, I don't. It's possible, yes.
And I don't know if you saw this breaking last night. Breaking waves news. Lake Superior. The Lake Superior's Twitter account officially endorsed Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
There you go. All right. Let's see. Mary says good morning from Wanakee and says that she's waiting for her yard signs as well. So, yeah, more people putting up yard signs. Coming up on the program today, Donald Trump stepped on so many rakes during the debate that Eric Hovde started getting jealous. But not to fear. Eric Hovde has a new batch of ads that once again pretend to have regular folks in them. They are not regular folks. We also have Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil telling us about how some more political issues are finding their way into courtrooms instead of voting booths. We'll talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about some legal matters as well. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about how the debate showed that moderators can actually do some fact-checking in real time, even if one of the candidates insists. Never mind the fact checkers. The story about the pets being eaten is true because he heard someone say it on TV. And I love that the late night hosts have been taking that and just running with it. That Trump says he heard it on TV, so it must be true. Sure thing, buddy.
Okay, cool, man. All right, bro.
Yeah, cool story. So Mark Jacob will talk to us about that. And we'll also ask him, whatever happened to the guy that was supposed to mute the microphone at the debate?
Yeah.
Did he just not show up for work that day or... or what? Let's see. We've got temperatures around the state at 6 a.m. It's going to be another warm one today. 59 here on Lake Wissota, 51 in Hayward, 53 in Park Falls, 57 in Wausau, Green Bay at 58, La Crosse 60, Wisconsin Rapids 60, Oshkosh 63, Madison 59, and it's 55 down by Gregg and Waukesha. This has been the this week is what I'd wanted all summer long, a long dry spell, but still warm, but not crazy humid, where I could just drop the top on the Jeep and go for some nice rides. And we went out to dinner last night to an area supper club, and I mean, you just can't beat, you know, driving home from dinner at, you know, the canopy of stars above. The sunsets have been amazing again because Canada's trying to burn itself down, but hey, the sunsets are still amazing, you know.
Yeah,
so this has been a good week for all that. Is it going to be a good week at the Laughing Tap? Is it going to be a good weekend? What is happening there?
Oh, we got Kate Willett here for two shows, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 apiece. That's going to be great. We're going to have fun. It's $22 online. You can go to laughingtap.com for your tickets. And if you want to pay at the door, it's $25 at the door. No drink minimums. Kick back, have some fun, enjoy a reliable, relaxing, and affordable night of comedy.
And friendly folks.
And friendly folks. You know that. You've been there. You've tried the wares.
Yes. This is now a personal testimonial about the nice folks that you find there. So yeah, laughingtap.com. Go look that up. And then you said Sunday is currently a nothing day. Where you will actually get to just like sit and like maybe watch the Packers or something?
I think, you know, Pat, I've really tried to... Like last weekend, I got so much done, but it's one of those things where you did so much, but you really did about an hour, 2 hours of work. That's what I want to do on Sundays. I want to like knock out some projects in the morning and then take the rest of the day.
It's perfect. Because
there's stuff to do. There's always stuff to do around the house. There is a project in my backyard that's been staring at me since we moved in, and I'm just like, argh. Here's a question I have for you as a homeowner. Yes. Because this is so, first of all, real quick, what is the earliest that you would be okay with a neighbor mowing their lawn? And then also, I have to cut down some wood using like a sawzall, so I'll get a little loud. Mm-hmm. Is that just under, like, I'm just afraid they're gonna be like, would you please stop doing that? I'd be like, I gotta do this thing, it's gotta happen, you know what I mean? Like
yep. For me, the guideline, which I'll give you the exception in a minute, the guideline is 9 o'clock on Saturday, 10 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay.
Just because it's a little peaceful and everything else. I call it a guideline though, because every neighbor needs to be able to do this. If you know that, like, it's, you know, rain is imminent, like it's going to be a rainy afternoon or even a rainy late morning, but it hasn't moved in yet. And if people are firing things up at 8 a.m. or maybe a touch earlier, you got to let them. If you know it's going to be rainy, it's like, oh, they're mowing their lawn this early. Well, yeah, you got to,
yeah,
you know, because so there are exceptions. But yeah, 9, 10-ish, I tend to go with that. We don't, okay. We've never had
anybody doing anything ungodly early here, thank goodness, unless they're doing construction, you know, because construction crews are notorious for showing up at 6:30, 7 o'clock. But, yeah. You know, that's not a bad thing, you know. Okay. So you're going to be an early morning, landscape artist and project doer before you take it easy for the afternoon?
I got a children's play set that came with the house that's just not safe. No child should be on that. But it's made of wood, so what I want to just do is I just want to cut it all to pieces and throw it out. Because it's not even it's not even salvageable wood. It's just it's beaten down. It's rickety. I
picture like this Addams Family type thing. What they've got for a playground, you know, behind the house. You know, when you say a playset that isn't safe, I'm right away thinking of Dan Aykroyd and the bag of broken glass. Like, hey, this is a great toy for kids. They love the bag of broken glass.
This you can teddy take bear
to Greg's house.
This teddy bear has wood chips and nails in it.
Every kid likes that. Tetanus shot extra.
Yeah.
So, good luck with the project this weekend. Thank Brewers, meanwhile, have a magic number now down to 7. Joe Zepecki was asking yesterday, will the Brewers have clinched by the time we talk next week? And I just blurted out yes out of confidence. I could not remember what the magic number was. So as soon as I saw today that it had dropped to 7, I'm like, okay, good. I feel like I've covered. I think we can get that done. The Brewers were winners in San Francisco last night, 3-0. Jackson Churio hit a 2-run homer. Frankie Montas pitched 6 scoreless innings for the Brewers in that victory, taking one more step toward winning the National League Central. The Brewers have a 9-game lead over the Cubs after taking 2 of 3 from the Giants. So the magic number is 7 for the division, but more importantly, and it's not life or death, but it matters. If you could get that first round bye, and the way the playoffs are structured now is there's 3 divisions, so there's 3 division winners, but only the top 2 get a first round bye. And the other division winner, the third one, has to play in the wild card round, which is how the Brewers got eliminated last year, you know, swept in a best 2 out of 3. So the Brewers are in that number 3 spot right now. And they are about 3 games behind the Dodgers and I think 3.5 or so behind the Phillies to get one of those first round buys. So nobody should get complacent. Yes, the Brewers are going to clinch the division, but you still want to be chasing the Dodgers and the Phillies for one of those spots. And yes, as Mary puts up on YouTube comment just now, Hank passed away. That was the 2014 season. I don't know if you were plugged into to Hank,
Hank,
the puppy they adopted during spring training.
Yeah, I remember Hank. Yeah. And
then the thing, well, I mean, so we're talking 10 years here. So that was a nice run.
And Hank wasn't a puppy when they got him, too, I think.
No. But he was just a cute little straggler that they brought on board. So that was nice. So we wish happy trails to Hank. Roger says, good morning from Stevens Point. 5 years ago today, we lost Eddie Money.
Oh.
So always got a little trivia, little music trivia for us all the time, and we appreciate that very much, Roger. The Brewers, meanwhile, head over to Arizona. Their game tonight is at 8:40, then tomorrow at 7:10, and then Sunday at 3:10, and then starts a 7-game homestand starting Monday with 3 against the Phillies and then 4 against Arizona. We'll unpack some of the news coming up about Eric Hovde and more next. You're up north on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum.
So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Up at dawn and sleepy and yawning, still the taste of wine. 'Cause I remember you're mine and I got a world that's fine. What's before me? Routines that bore me. Punch the clock at 8.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mel Torme. Mel Torme will be part of today's history lesson, as will Ray Charles. Oops, as will Ray Charles and others coming up in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio.
Do you know what I love about this clip I'm playing right now? It's from a show that was on, I'm assuming, American television called Jazz.
It was PBS's predecessor, NET, National Educational Television. Yes,
it's so called
it's a PBS thing.
Jazz Casual. It's called Jazz Casual. I love that.
Jazz Casual with Mel Torme there, just, you know, swinging with the little quartet or whatever.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's very nice.
so cool. We'll
have more of today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. Of course, we have the Up North News daily newsletter that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. Just click subscribe up in the top banner. Among the stories today, he said, celebrity Packer fans. That's right. In honor of the Packers home opener coming up this Sunday, Christina Lurie writes about some of the more famous Packer fans and what it is that makes them cheeseheads based on some of the stories that they tell. There are also some end of summer getaway ideas if you're looking for a weekend road trip here before things really start to cool off. And an article about the economists that have been weighing in on the plans of Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump and what economists say those plans would do. And I would listen to them because they're experts. Again, doesn't mean they're right about everything all the time, but it is at least an informed analysis as opposed to, well, my plan's going to work just because I say so. So for that and more, sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. So again, speaking of the Packers, that home opener is Sunday at noon against the Indianapolis Colts. The Badgers, meanwhile, host the Alabama Crimson Tide 11 o'clock tomorrow morning at Camp Randall. I get, Greg, that Alabama isn't, you know, especially with Nick Saban gone, they're not the be-all and end-all that the juggernaut that they were for forever. Now that appears to be Georgia. But still, I mean, Alabama is Alabama, so I am really hoping for a big and exciting upset. But you're playing, what are they, the number 5 team in the country, something like that? Mm. So, you know, I'm just going to try to enjoy the game.
That's what you should always do when you watch sports.
Yes, yeah, not to get too worked up of, oh, this team is killing us. Like, well, they're 5th ranked in the nation. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Also, cool it on the us talk. You ain't playing.
Yes, thank you. Yes, very true. Nice to be reminded about that. All right, so do you remember, we're talking about Eric Hovde here, yeah. Was it 6 weeks ago or so, and he was running a commercial in a bar, 3 regular guys are in a bar, and they're complaining about Tammy Baldwin and the economy, and then... you know, Hovde comes up with a tray of beers to make them happy. Yeah. And they weren't regular guys. They were on his payroll. They were part of his company,
yeah.
You know, because God forbid you actually get some, you know, some mooks to actually, you know, come in and speak on your behalf. Well, let me tell you about the new batch of ads that Eric Hovde has put together. This story was first reported by our friends at Heartland Signal, WCPT Radio out of Chicago. And in these ads, there's a series of folks talking about the economic struggles of everyday Wisconsinites. There's one, all you see on the screen with her is Kathy. So her name is Kathy, and she talks about grocery bills and car payments, and then Eric Hovde posts about it and says, I hear stories like Kathy's far too often. Wisconsinites are struggling to get by because of Biden, Harris, and Baldwin. And let's see, then there's another one where the woman is identified as Nancy. And Nancy is endorsing Hovde's plan to lower costs and protect our health care. And you can't see my finger quotes, but I hope my voice made clear that we don't know the plan from Eric Hovde. He just says he's going to lower costs and protect our care. And Hovde put up that on Twitter and said, Nancy is ready to retire Tammy Baldwin and get our country back on track. And then there's a third ad with a dude. We don't even see a name on him, but he's talking, and Eric Hovde posted about that on Twitter. And just links to the ad with the guy and says that Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin's horrible economic policies are leaving the next generation worse off, because the guy is a younger guy. The guy actually does have a name. It's Samuel. Samuel Krieg, I believe it is. And he's not a regular guy. He's a Republican candidate for state assembly in that area. You'd think you'd label the candidate, or maybe not put an assembly candidate in as a quote-unquote regular guy. There was Nancy. Nancy is a board member of the Waukesha County Republican Party, but that is not disclosed in the ad. And our first commercial with Kathy. Kathy is the executive director of the Waukesha County Republican Party. And again, not disclosed in an ad. Now, these ones aren't on the Hovde payroll per se. Are they regular folks? Yeah. They're also members of the party, and we don't see that anywhere in the ad, because we're led to believe that Eric Hovde could pluck any three random people off the street, and they would all say what a wonderful guy he is and what a wonderful plan he has. And that's not the case, Eric. That's not how these regular guy things are supposed to work.
You remember Tammy Baldwin's ad like a month or two ago with the mm-hmm. farming couple, and they were very, yeah. you know, very open and very, the language was not censored. Mm-hmm. Those are real. It's not hard to find regular people. It's, or, you know, with the bar thing, hire three actors. That's a thing that takes some acting. So yeah, that's why you hire three. No one would have a problem if you hired three actors, but they just continually just don't do that thing. They don't reach out and say, hey, is anybody here struggling? Anyone here voting for me? Would you like to be in a commercial? That's not difficult to do.
No. And you know, I recalled in my campaigns where, again, you got the production company, and you'd have people who were like maybe extras, but to have them sit and give a speaking role like that, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had one where, you know, a guy rode a motorcycle in one of my ads. And yeah, it was a guy working on our campaign. He had no speaking role. He wasn't presenting himself as anything other than a guy riding a motorcycle. But when you're sitting down and saying, life is hard and Eric Hovde's got a plan, get the regular folks like Tammy Baldwin did. It's, you know, again, not terribly difficult.
You could even have that guy in the motorcycle say, hey, I support Pratt Kreitlow so much, I volunteer with the campaign, and so can you. Because, you know, you can... Yeah. Be open and honest and get people interested. But this is just, he sucks at this. His team sucks at this. His spokesman left the campaign. He sucks at this.
he's not good.
No.
He's not good. I'll tell you that much. And again, like his buddy Ron Johnson, just feels like enough money with enough ads might drag him across the finish line, but that does not appear to be the case so far, at least based on, you know, this week's Marquette poll. Let's pause here. When we come back, Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil will talk a bit about the debate and about.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Blue tongue is a disease that you may not hear much about here, but over in Europe, they are starting to have issues with it. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Jenny Wackershauser, a broker analyst from EverAg, explains what blue tongue is and how it's being spread. And we'll have that story for you right after this message.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
Welcome back. Now let's hear what Jenny Wackershauser has to say about blue tongue.
We've been watching blue tongue reports out of Europe for a little while, and blue tongue, similar to bird flu, is insect-borne. It is not transmittable animal to animal. I think they get outbreaks of this every once in a while, as depending on when the situations get kind of perfect. It goes to ruminant animals and manifests similar to what we're seeing in bird flu. Drop in milk production. They're seeing cows not bouncing back, some abortions of calves, things that may cause them to need to cull them early out of a herd, and just struggling to ramp up milk production for them as well.
Although blue tongue cannot be passed from animal to animal, it is still something to be worried about for a herd, as explained by Jenny Wackershauser. This disease currently has no cure, and a lot of times cattle, when infected, are asymptomatic. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at the markets right after this.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at the markets from Chicago. December corn contracts are starting off the day at 409.5, up 3.5. November soybean contracts are starting off at 1013, up 2.25. December wheat's starting trading at 583.25, up 4.75. Class 3 milk contracts for October remaining even at 2382 100 weight. And Class 3 milk contracts for November are down 3 cents at 2315 100 weight. Barrels of cheese closed out the day yesterday at 243.5, up 5 cents. 40-pound blocks of cheese started down 3.5 at 228. And butter finished the day down 9 cents at 308.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny today, highs in the low 80s, little breezy out of the southeast. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 59. Mostly cloudy Saturday, 79. Chance of a shower on Saturday night with a low around 60 degrees. For Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 82.
It's 60 at our studios.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, September 16th. Get ready to go for the green or gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer at 10:33 from the recombobulation area. Hour number two. If you know some young wannabe aviators, young eagles, don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning rolls on here on Up North News Radio. Courier Newsroom National Correspondent Kia Vakil joining me now. Kia, how are you?
I am well, Pat. How about yourself?
Good. Doesn't the convention and being at that rooftop where we recorded, doesn't that feel like 6 months ago at this point already?
It does. A lot has happened since then. I've had COVID. We've had a presidential debate. Mm-hmm. God, who knows what else?
And well, we're going to get to a lot of it because so much of what involves the election has been going through courts of one kind or another. And I'm, you know, Wisconsin probably won't be an exception by the time this is all said and done. I mean, the Wisconsin Supreme Court this week said that they would have, at some point, take up the case of whether the legislature has the authority to fire the Elections Commission administrator. Spoiler alert, they don't. But the, you know, that court case will still go on. So we'll get to all of those. Obviously, the big thing this week was the debate and the continued after effects of it. And whether, and I'm asking you this, tongue planted so firmly into cheek it hurts, whether Donald Trump has made some kind of a pivot or actually just made any adjustment whatsoever. And Kia, I'm not calling him a robot. I don't see how that's ever going to happen.
No, it's never going to happen. He is an out of control 4-year-old in a 78-year-old body. So no, he's never going to pivot. And any these store, he's never going to become, quote unquote, the day he became president. Like, it's just not going to happen. The man's a lunatic. And, you know, we saw in the debate, Kamala Harris clearly went into it with a strategy of just baiting him relentlessly. And he fell for it every single time. And, you know, that's not someone that I want in the White House. If he can be baited that easily in 90 minutes that many times, what's he going to do when he's the most powerful person in the world, when other country leaders or his own party's leaders or other individuals try to, you know, win curry favor with him?
I think it's just, that's what Vladimir Putin's been doing for years, is just dangling one compliment after another, probably one small favor here and there. And I think folks are no longer seeing in him somebody who would necessarily work on their behalf. Now, Vice President Harris and Governor Walz and all kinds of surrogates are traveling all over the country throughout the course of this week. And they, too, have seemed, again, they don't really feel the need to change much of anything. They've consistently kept to what appears to be an economic message, which strikes me as very smart, because if Trump were smart, he'd be hitting on inflation and the economy all the time. But they're just like passing references before he gets back to, you know, racist tropes about, you know, immigrants, you know, eating dogs. So if Harris and Walz get to talk about the economy first, they're going to win that battle of ideas.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Harris and Walz, you know, the two things I think you got to do are just relentlessly talk about the economic plans, probably propose a couple more, frankly, and then talk about abortion and do those two things, do them aggressively, do more interviews. So a lot of voters still are trying to learn about Kamala Harris because she's only been the candidate for like 6 weeks. And so, you know, that's what she has to do now. And, you know, if they do that for the next 2 months, roughly, like, I feel as if they're in decent shape. You know, Trump, again, has the message discipline of a rodent, and he is going to, all he did on Tuesday was talk about the border, immigrants, 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 eating cats and dogs, which is, you know, BS. Mm-hmm. That is not happening. It's just another way in which he's demonizing immigrants and with real life consequences. On Thursday, we saw City Hall in Springfield get a bomb threat, Springfield, Ohio, which is where this, you know, nonsense about Haitian immigrants, you know, eating household pets, that's the conspiracy theory. It's not true. Anyone with a brain and eyes and ears and a functioning sense of, you know, logic knows it's not true. It's just race baiting hate. And, you know, it's going to have consequences. We've seen this over and over again through the years, that when you demonize a population, you pave the path for them to be, you know, the state to go after them. We saw it, obviously, in Nazi Germany. We've seen it in the U.S. during World War II with Japanese internment camps. We've seen it during Trump's first term with child separation. And, you know, he's clearly setting the stage again to try to deport as many people who are not white as possible.
And it's not going to change. I mean, this is the centerpiece of the race. And if anybody thinks that you know, J.D. Vance is suddenly going to sound contrite about this kind of thing, you are definitely fooling yourself. Now, pivoting then to abortion rights, and again, one of the, I guess I'll keep using the word surprise, although it's becoming less so. One of the surprises since the Dobbs decision has been how in red state after red state after red state, voters have come together and said, well, this isn't a Democratic or a Republican issue. This is about personal freedoms. And so there's news to report from North Dakota, from Missouri, from Florida. Do you want to talk about the Florida effort to codify abortion rights?
Yeah. So Florida has a 6-week abortion ban in place signed by Ron DeSantis, last seen being humiliated by Donald Trump for a year. But, you know, he still runs the state of Florida and they have a 6-week ban in place. And there was a citizen-led ballot measure that got placed on the ballot for November that would effectively give voters the chance, if 60% of voters vote yes, would essentially restore the Roe standard, restoring abortion rights till around 24 weeks in the state. The state Supreme Court signed off on this measure, despite efforts by DeSantis and the Secretary of State to sabotage it. So voters will get a chance to vote. But ever since, you know, it was approved and made official, the Republicans have tried one thing after another to attack it. They released a really misleading and political financial impact statement that's going to appear alongside the ballot measure, essentially saying if voters approved it, the state would lose a bunch of money and get sued a lot. Not true. They also put up a government-run, taxpayer-funded website attacking it, which, you know, is not exactly appropriate. And there's a lawsuit over that now. And DeSantis has also sicked his election police, sending them to the doors of voters who signed the petition to get it on the ballot. You know, if that's not an abuse of state power, I don't really know what is. This is, again, it's just another way that party has gone fully authoritarian, despite a chunk of their voters, a non-zero chunk, almost half, I would say, supporting abortion rights. It's going to need 60% to pass of the vote in Florida. That means a solid third of Republicans are going to have to vote for it. In other states, in Missouri, we saw the Republican Secretary of State do everything he could to try to sabotage a similar citizen-led ballot measure. And the state Supreme Court, which is controlled by Republicans, Missouri is a ruby red state, they told him, no, you got to do your job and place it on the measure. They followed all the laws. In North Dakota, we saw a judge on Thursday throw out that state's abortion ban. That ultimately will likely go to that state Supreme Court, which may rule differently. But there are ballot measures all across the country in red, blue, and purple states. And, you know, in some of these states, in Arkansas, we saw the state Republicans there essentially block it. We're seeing similar challenges in other states like Nebraska, because they know they can't win on the merits. They know their own voters largely, you know, or plurality of them support abortion rights. And so rather than have a good faith conversation or play it straight up and just try to win, they're just trying to rig the game instead.
And in North Dakota, you know, the Republican controlled legislature had put basically a 6-week ban in place. But again, even in this ruby red state, you have a good chunk of the people there who don't see this as any kind of a partisan issue. And so that's why you're seeing these things in the courts and will continue to see them in the courts. Now, there's another topic that's been in the courts, and that is about school vouchers, a big issue in many parts of Wisconsin. There is a legal challenge that is slowly grinding its way through the courts now. But in both of the Carolinas, there has been some movement in they're both Republican states by and large, but the movement has been in opposite directions.
Yeah. So in North Carolina, we saw Republicans in the state legislature, where they have a supermajority, pass a $463 million expansion of their private school voucher program, which effectively means, you know, taxpayer dollars are going to go to the families of wealthier kids who already go to private schools or who want to go to private schools on, you know, and have the taxpayers pay for it. Over 10 years, they're going to fund an extra $5 billion, essentially taking that money from public schools that are already underfunded in North Carolina and giving it to the parents of private school kids. And something we've seen is that private schools don't just take that money and, you know, say thank you. They raise their tuition to be able to gobble up as much money as possible from parents on top of that voucher. We've seen this absolutely decimate state government funding budgets in places like Arizona. We know vouchers, schools, private schools don't have to accept kids with disabilities or learning issues. You know, they largely exist in wealthy suburbs and cities and not in rural areas. So this is just going to create more inequality between the haves and have-nots in places like North Carolina. And that's a shame. Neighboring state, South Carolina, that state Supreme Court just ruled in the opposite direction that you cannot use taxpayer funded dollars for private schools. That makes a lot of sense to me, you know, but that is going against the grain of what's happening right now in these red states.
Well, and it's because the Republicans in South Carolina thought they had found this workaround, that if they just put that money in a trust fund, an education scholarship trust fund, quote unquote, well, now it's no longer the state funding vouchers. And the Supreme Court there, in so many words, said, get out of here. I mean... Yep. You know, and really, it takes a certain amount of arrogance to think, well, we're conservative legislators and those are conservative justices. And so they're just going to go along with us because politically we have the same values. There is still some honor among some of the folks in justices' robes out there.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, unfortunately, that argument, that backdoor way does work in some states.
Yes.
I believe it's Pennsylvania. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Pennsylvania, where if you are a wealthy person and you donate to these, I think it's called opportunity scholarships, empowerment scholarships, they have all these, you know, fake terms. Mm-hmm. You essentially get the same amount back as a tax write-off. And so it's just like this backdoor method to funnel public school dollars toward, or public dollars towards private schools. And the goal is not to ensure people have a quality education. It's to decimate public schools. It has been a century-long goal of the right because they want to be able to, you know, have greater control. They want funding of religious schools. They want more leeway and less regulation of homeschools, which, you know, would effectively put a lot of kids in vulnerable positions. So, you know, it's not something we should take them at their word for, because there's a mountain of evidence that these things are damaging for schools and families and communities, and very little evidence that they actually help anyone learn more.
So let's close on an upbeat note. That, of course, would be Taylor Swift and her endorsement post-debate of the Harris-Walz ticket, and how she suggested in Instagram, she gave a link to vote.gov, which is run by the General Services Administration and the Election Assistance Commission. And last number I saw through the New York Times was that the number is now up to 406,000 people clicked on that link in the 24 hours after Taylor Swift posted it. Never underestimate the power of any of us to try to get other people to remember to register and vote. Taylor just does it on a little bigger level.
Yeah, I mean, she has a pretty big following. I believe it's almost the size of this country on Instagram. Obviously, a lot of those people are abroad. But, you know, it was a very anodyne endorsement. And yet you saw the entire right-wing media apparatus lose its mind. You saw a lot of people harassing people who had the gall to like that post. You know, Caitlin Clark, who's a basketball phenomenon in the WNBA from the Midwest in Indiana, from Iowa originally. She's getting all sorts of harassment in her Instagram comments now because she happened to like the post and then say people should always encourage people to vote.
Yeah.
And that's just a sign of where we are, where, you know, a large majority of folks, at least on the online right, are just, you know, absolutely lose their minds if someone has a different ideology.
Oh, it's not online. We talked yesterday about Congressman Derek Van Orden and other Republicans blowing up in a committee hearing this week. Yep. That, you know, the Department of Veterans Affairs would have the audacity to try to work toward encouraging and making it easier for veterans to register and vote, not telling them how to vote, to register to vote. Quick final stat here, according to people for the website, on Monday, the age group with the most visitors to vote411.org was in the 55 to 65-year-old range. From Wednesday onward, the number one group was 18 to 24. Y'all are getting it done, kids. You're getting it done. appreciate it so much. We appreciate you, Kia Vakil. Thank you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Join James and Southwood County Humane Society for Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Stay up to date on needs, events, and available pets. Over 100 pets have been adopted thanks to area sponsors. To learn how to help, call Ashley at 715-496-0710.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and AgriFab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm
you find me any other station in town that's going to give you a double dose of Mel Torme during the 6 a.m. hour.
Even if it's unintentional.
Mel Torme, born 99 years ago today, passed away in 1999. I have to admit, I didn't know him as much of the crooner that he was first known for. I really first got to know him through the original Night Court. There you go. With, you know, he was Judge Stone, Harry Anderson. That was like his hero. Yeah. And when Mel Torme started finally making cameos, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But I will say that one of my first radio jobs was at a station that played, you know, some big band and some standards hits and things. So I've got, again, feel like kind of that last generation that's got a little bit of exposure to things that, you know, my kids now would be like, Mel who? What? You know, what is this? But come on, Mel Torme, swing, baby, swing. I also in today's history lesson, let's see, a big birthday today for Peter Cetera. One time from Chicago, then had his own solo career. Peter Cetera is 80 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
Love those horns.
You are my love and my life.
On this day in 1948, Margaret Chase Smith is elected United States Senator, becoming the first woman to serve in both the U.S. House of Representatives and the United States Senate. Singer Fiona Apple is 47 years old today.
Rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass.
Just a very unique, breathy, earthy voice on her.
Oh, yeah. I'm not Fiona a huge Apple. Beatles covers fan.
Yeah.
They never really. But this one hits. This one.
Yes,
this
it
one
does.
Hits.
That's why I picked it. I'm like, yep, this is one of the few Beatles covers that I would definitely play frequently. Niall Horan from One Direction is 31 years old today.
We're only getting older, baby. And I've been thinking about it lately. Does it ever drive you crazy? Just how fast the night changes.
So Taylor Swift was once again honored at the MTV Video Music Awards the other night. And this is the day, this is the anniversary of the day in 2009 when she won Best Female Video. And Kanye West came up on stage and commandeered the microphone and said Beyonce deserved the award for her Single Ladies video. When Beyonce does win for Video of the Year later that night, she brings Taylor Swift back on stage to finish her speech. And the dynamic between those three has always been awkward to put it mildly, that they it's, I won't call it love hate. It's certainly not that. And it's not just outright feud, but it's just weird. And it all started there with Kanye, who to this day, you know, he and Jay-Z and others say that Beyonce still hasn't received her proper due. Beyonce, did you see she was completely snubbed by the CMAs?
You know, honestly, that doesn't surprise me. Was it the CMAs or the ACMs? But either way, I didn't expect it to happen. They're not, they don't like outsiders. I mean, they erased the chicks. They erased them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm like, I'm sure there's a deeper conversation about it that people want to talk about. But the fact is that this does not surprise me at all.
No, it doesn't. On this day in 1975, a song about dealing with the unrealistic standards of beauty, not the stuff you typically hear on the radio. Janis Ian's At 17 peaked at number 3 this day in 1975.
I learned the truth at 17, that love was meant for beauty queen.
All right, I've been saving one of the birthdays till last because it's going to guide very nicely into how we finish up the segment today. Ray Charles was born this day in 1918, passed away in 2015. Here's one of his more famous songs.
She's still playing. Oh. Hold on. Here we go. There we go.
Oh, beautiful. Our heroes proved in liberating strife.
I'm never going to get tired of hearing Ray Charles doing America the Beautiful, born this day in 1918. Finally, in a turning point in the War of 1812, the British failed to capture Baltimore. And during the battle, Francis Scott Key composed a poem. It was called The Defense of Fort McHenry. It was set to music. It would later become the national anthem of the United States. It was not the easiest thing to sing. It never has been the easiest song to sing. Some folks have figured out how to make little tweaks to it and make it their own, as Whitney Houston did at the Super Bowl one year. And that'll take us to our news break. And then we'll have much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Grown Radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska drops by to give us a preview of this weekend's Packer game. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc.'s Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
I'm at the movies.
asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Eh, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.